Father, we thank you for the privilege to come here today, Lord, to hear your word preached. We thank you for the man of God you brought to us, Lord. Help us be a blessing to him, Lord, as he's a blessing to us. Father, we just pray, Lord, that we adhere to your word today, preach, that we put it into practice in our lives, Lord, as we go out in the world and witness the lost. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's take our books again now and turn to number 78. Thanks to God for my Redeemer.
Shot and whatnot. And so
we're obviously concerned about something like that happening here. We're thankful that nothing has so far. But starting next Sunday, 15 minutes after the start of the morning service, this front door out here is going to be locked. Okay? So there will be a sign posted indicating for anybody who comes here later than that, this door here will still remain open. Okay? But the advantage is everybody will see that person coming in. Alright? We want to try to be as safe as we possibly can. Obviously, everything is in the Lord's hands. We understand that. But, humanly speaking, we want to do everything we can to be as safe as we can. So, yes, Sam?
Just wanted to point out that, in case anybody has a concern, the door is locked, but you can still get out through that door.
Yes. All our doors have crash bars on them, so that you could push them and get out. Okay? So... that's correct. Okay? So, that's good, Sam. Thank you. One of us will be locking that front door in the back facing Race Street 15 minutes after the start of the morning service. Okay? So, starting next week, we will be doing that. Alright? So, just wanted to mention that. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we're having our Thanksgiving Eve service. Some of you who often can't make it to our Wednesday evening prayer Bible study because of work commitments or whatever else you might have going on, we're hoping you can come and join us that night. We're going to have a good time of singing some songs and folks giving testimony of what God has done in their lives and maybe a Bible verse that has meant something to you this year. So we'll be doing that this coming Wednesday night, and then following that, we will have snacks and desserts downstairs. Please bring those along with you when you come, okay? And like we usually do when we have events here, the church will provide drinks and plates, cup, all that good stuff. So hope you'll come and join us and be part of it, okay? All right.
Well, let me just say, in addition to what he was saying there, for Wednesday night, it's going to kind of be family time here. Okay, we don't have a preacher who's coming for Wednesday night. So come prepared with a verse, something that, you know, we went through a lot this year. A lot of things changed, a lot of things happened at Race Street this year. And so come with a verse, maybe something that kind of got you through some difficult times. All right, and share that with everybody. Nobody's going to preach, but let's come up with some good testimonies and things that got you through. And if you've got a song, and that's how we're going to do the service on Wednesday night. All right, it's going to kind of be up to you guys. And let's have a good time. Come prepared to have a good time in fellowship with each other and talk about what the Lord's gotten us through and things that we're still thankful for, even though things have happened that weren't necessarily the way we thought they should go.
Mm-hmm. All right. And like Jason was saying, we don't want people to take real long, 2 or 3 minutes. Nothing too long.
Filibuster.
Yes. Say something that the Lord has done for you. And I see no problem with if you say something and then you think of something else a little bit later on and others have had an opportunity and you want to say something else, I see no problem with that. Mm-hmm. So that'll be good too. All right, so looking forward to that. I will be up here, and we'll just, after you're done giving what you want to say, and you have a song that kind of goes with that, you can just let me know what it is, and we'll try to sing it as best we can. And I will have the one-on-one books out. They'll be in the rows, and the course books and hymn books will already be there, so you can have an opportunity to look at what you want. And pick somebody. Okay?
Let's make it.
So, we'll have a good time that night. I trust you'll come and we'll have a good time. Again, we want to say welcome to Brother Siebold. Glad you're here, sir. And
amen.
Trust that he'll be as much of a blessing as he was in Sunday school again for the morning service. And then he'll be with us again next Sunday.
Amen.
So, we're looking forward to hearing from him again next week. So I think that's the main announcements I have right now. Let's go back to singing some good songs. 217. I think this is a favorite of many of us. 217. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
24. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this one? 624.
God will prove. It's not your Isaac that he wants, it's you.
Appreciate the sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Somebody once said there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and it must be the spirit of the Lord. And thank God for that. Don't get nervous. I took out a whole page of notes. Sometimes you look at all that's on there and going to last, preach forever, and so forth and so on. And I've said many times to our folks back home, he didn't come to church to go home. Yeah, when do we get out of here? What time we're leaving? Is he going to be long this morning? It's going to be forever. I hope you had a good breakfast because it's going to carry you over to supper time. So you enjoy this. You enjoy the service. And it's good to be here again, my friend. I thank God for this place. And I thank God that there's a lighthouse here. I'd encourage you to keep the light burning bright. You have modern conveniences, but you don't need modern theology. You have heat, and that's great, but you have the Holy Spirit. That's greater. And so we need places like this dotted across the Northeast. America was founded here in the Northeast, in this part of the country, and by folks like you and folks who love the Lord, and not just for a show on Sunday morning, but it was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our Christianity is real. This is not synthetic. This is not artificial. You're the real stuff. If somebody said, let's find a place where real Christians can be found, this is the type of place, this is a place where real Christians can be found. Don't lose it. Cherish it. Appreciate it. Encourage one another. We're not always all of what we ought to be. You're looking at me saying, amen, that's true. That's true right there. I'm looking at, we're not all what we are. You know, we are on occasion less than what we ought to be. But thank God we serve a merciful God, who's anxious and willing to forgive us. If we say we have no sin, we're going to look at that in a minute. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Amen? And therefore, we ought to be asking God, Lord, let me know. Now, if God doesn't give you a direct answer, ask your wife. She'll help you. She will give you what no one else would tell you. So take your Bibles if you would this morning. Thank God for your King James Bible. And praise God for it. I was saved a long time ago, and I didn't know there were any other versions, and I still don't know there are any other versions. I know one. That's the King James Bible right there. It's God's Word preserved and protected for us this day. The book of Matthew, you have a sign in back of me, and it reads, "Let your light so shine before men." Let your light so shine before men. I mentioned in Sunday school class, I went to a Presbyterian daily vacation Bible school, and they would sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Aren't you glad I don't sing special music? This little light of mine, I'm going to hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under. And I was just about 8, 9 years of age. I wasn't saved. Didn't know much about the Bible or whatever. But my mother wanted to get rid of us from 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning to about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so we walked from 19th Avenue to 8th Avenue. And we went to this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. But the Word of God was tucked away in my brother's heart, my sister's heart. The Word of God was there. So that later on in years, my brother got saved, my sister got saved, I got saved. Thank God for this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So whatever we do in a Sunday school class, or whatever we do in daily vacation Bible school, whatever we do, we can sing outside these four walls. Amen? Let's keep Christ in, you know, let's keep the meaning. Let's keep, how do you say it? In the stores, I'm singing about Jesus. I mentioned to you last time I was here, we're from a Jewish community where our church was. We bordered Hasidic Jews. I mean, Lakewood, New Jersey was just nothing but Hasidic Jews. So when you went shopping, you wanted to witness to them, you just sing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again?" It wasn't the voice that they were objecting to. It was the words. And they pondered it. They would meditate. They would think on it. We ministered in a Jewish nursing home. And we were invited there. And we brought our Christian school kids there. And we would do the same thing. And they said, "You can't preach to these people." I said, "But I can preach to my kids." And so during the time that we had, I'd preach to the kids. You don't have to listen if you don't want to, but their curiosity got the best of them. And we've seen them saved. And I thank God for that. Amen. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm looking at you as lights. You are lights. You are the light of the world. Now we're going to look at a couple of Bible verses as soon as I find my glasses. And Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14. I'll read verse 14, 15, and 16, and then I'll pray, and we're going to read another verse or two of Scripture at this time. Ye, that's you, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse number 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray. Now, Lord, this time is yours. We pray that you would give us wisdom as a speaker, as a hearer, both. Lord, I pray you would bring words to memory, words, precious words from your book. May we go forth from this place better able to serve you in a mighty way. We'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory. For what you've done, what you're doing, and what you will do here in this church, in this body of believers, in Jesus' wonderful name, I would ask and pray. Amen. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, this verse teaches me and teaches you, I believe, that we are the light of the world. I believe America is getting darker spiritually than it was when I was a kid growing up. I think you would agree with me, concur, that our nation is getting darker. Now, according to this verse, we are the light of the world. And so I look at you, you look at me, and we'll say, if there's a reason why the world, if there's a reason why this country, if there's a reason this part of the country is getting darker, it's because of you and me. We are the light of the world. And if the world is getting darker, who are you going to put the blame on? We are the light of the world. Something has happened to our brightness. Something has happened to our radiance. Something has happened. And we either, for some reason, we're not as bright as we used to be. Ye are the light of the world. Turn your Bible over to the book of John. John chapter 8. And we read a similar statement, but somewhat different. Verse number 12, chapter 8, John 8 and verse 12. John 8 and verse number 12. Then, you all got it there? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Wait. We just read that Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Now Jesus here is saying, I am the light of the world. How many believe there's no contradictions in scriptures? There's no, that sure sounds like a little bit, maybe possibly a contradiction. Ye are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want to suggest a way of understanding this. Perhaps ye are the light of the world, but in you, in me, dwelleth no good thing. So we are the light, but we are the reflected light of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our Sunday school class, I talked about the Old North Church in Boston. And they didn't like it when you didn't come to church. They didn't like it there if you were a parishioner in that church. And it was the winter time, and you didn't show up or your family didn't show up. They had them little booths. Anybody been in that church? And they had a little section squared off, and every family had a section and so forth and so on. And if you had perfect attendance, you had perfect heat. But if your family was absent, the brick that you heated up overnight didn't get to church. And without that brick from your family, and without the brick from your family, and without the brick from your family, and 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 your family, you were the heat of the church. And the longer the preacher preached, that heat dissipated. So preachers didn't preach too long back yonder then. But if somebody didn't show up on Sunday, and you went to the market on Monday, you are hard-pressed to wheel and deal, because ye are the heat of the building. Now here, Jesus is saying, ye are the light of the world, but the world is getting darker. May I ask the question, is Jesus getting darker? No. Is Jesus shining just as bright today as he was then, and through all eternity past, and through all eternity future? Jesus is the light. You and I are reflected light. Now, the more reflectors we have, the brighter the light. Mathematically, it's getting darker because we don't have as many lights. And we may have some lights, but the lights have tarnished and so forth. Ye are the light of the world. We in America today need more fundamental Bible-believing, God-loving, devil-hating Baptist churches, just like this one, which is loaded with lights. But even us as lights here in the sanctuary may not be burning as bright as we ought to. We may not be as clean as we should be. And with that, you know, every once in a while you need to get charged back up again. Amen. And that ought to be every time you come to church. That'll be every time you sit at home. Hey, that idiot box that you have in your living room is not going to charge you up. I will say that again. That idiot box that you have in your living room will not charge you up. We raised a whole bunch of people without having an idiot box in our house. It can be done. And some people say, well, what did you do for entertainment? You're looking at the joke right now. I don't believe I said that. But anyway, we had a great time in the house. I said, I can't believe that. A man of the cloth. I will not tell you from behind the sacred desk some of the great times we had. It was good. It really did. Now, oh, my soul. Don't get me going there. When everybody says being a Christian is, it's not that way. It's not that way. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. It's a grand thing to follow Jesus anywhere and everywhere we go. Ye are the light of the world. Verse number 12, I'm going to read it again. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. But then, ye are the light of the world. Now, I'm a little bit confused that we need to be the reflected light. I grew up in Jersey. I mentioned to some of you already, but a little town called Belmar. And I was born in 1943, but when I was old enough to walk and we would go down along the ocean, at night they would have the searchlights on the boardwalk. Anybody remember searchlights that may have been down on the boardwalk and so forth and so on? Candle power, spotlights. Okay. That searchlight that was shining up in the sky was pretty bright. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine up in the sky. I'm saying that if we were to take the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and each one of us became reflectors, we'd have a pretty good bright. Listen, what you have here today is a bright light to the folks out there in this part of your world. And so I noticed, hey, that's what a spotlight is made up of. Parabolic mirrors. And just little one, little one, little one, all aimed in the same direction. All put there. Not everyone's aiming in the same direction, but everyone has slight. This is a little physics lesson. I need a chalkboard. But the light is curved, so when that candle hit that light, it would send it back in the same direction. But then another little piece over here would be slightly different, but it would send it back in the same direction. And so it was burning bright so that they could spot airplanes coming along. Now, we need that in our churches. We need to be all pointed to the light, to the Lord Jesus Christ. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I mentioned somewhere along the way, I think I did anyway, that I worked as an engineer for the state of New Jersey. And one day, I came into the office, and our boss said to Fred, he was a partner and worked there as an engineer, he said, you need to go out to Newark Airport. There was a disaster a couple weeks ago. And he said, I'm not sure that the police, state police, that they're investigating. Wow, you all get A plus, and my wife is laughing at me. But they made a mistake when they investigated the scene of the accident, okay? And so he sent Fred and I out to the Newark Airport, and it was our job to figure out what might have contributed to the accident. We knew it was a foggy night, but what might have contributed to the accident? What caused it? What made it go wrong? And I thought to myself, you know, that's a little bit with our churches. What made it go wrong? Why have our churches not produced what God has intended for us to produce as God-fearing Christian folks? Ye are the light of the world. We are the reflected light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you not say today that Jesus is burning just as bright as he has ever burned? Is he not Almighty God just as much today as he was yesterday or 100 yesterdays or 1,000 yesterdays? He's just as bright. But it is not as bright in the Christian community. It's not as bright in the world's community. Why? Who's the reflectors? We are. We are. And so if America is in darkness, don't blame Jesus. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. We are the reflected light. While we were at the airport, this accident happened at Newark Airport, Route 1 and 9. While we were at the airport, we looked around just to see what might have caused the accident. What might have caused these two people to lose their life that night at the airport. So we looked around. We tried to, you know, kind of figure out, try to be smart as we could be and so forth and so on. And we concluded some various things, for which I jotted three of them down last night. And I even colored them in so my eyes can see it, okay? And they're yellow like reflectors. And so it is important that we get this idea, because we're always looking to the White House for some type of remedy for our nation. And I'm saying to you this morning, it's the church house. It is the church house that has the solution to the darkness in America today. We need more people in church, and we need more people out of church. And not out of church that way, but I mean, other words, when we're outside of the four walls of this sanctuary, we need to be in church. We need to be God-fearing, God-loving, devil-hating folks. It's not just for this little period of time that we're Christians. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We need to get back to that idea. We need to live as a Christian all the time. We noticed as we were there, and it was hard for us to kind of discern and decipher what might have caused it. I did not have this verse. I wasn't a saved man at this particular time. But let me take you through our investigation and what we saw there. We saw they had reflectors. The State Department, State of New Jersey, spent the money to have reflectors. But we noticed several things about those reflectors that may have well caused or allowed the accident to occur. In your Bible, turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Please do not get tired of turning in your Bible. My wife says you have folks turn in their Bible, but you never make reference to what you haven't turned to. Well, I promise I will on this verse. Three verses, okay? 1 John chapter 1. Now, take a little bit of time. In the front of your Bible is an index, and if you can't find a verse in the Bible, don't be ashamed. Turn to the index and find it. I'm getting to heaven not by what I know, but by who I know. Now, I don't know a whole lot about who I'm, but it's who I know. And after that, who I know has an influence on what I know. If I ever come to the point where I can't remember my name or remember my wife's name, I'm still married. All right? You got that idea? It's the Lord Jesus Christ who's done it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. It's all Jesus. We notice as we searched around Route 9, and I wouldn't imagine that you would be familiar with in past. Now it's a different scene, but in past, it was kind of a dangerous place to drive. And we noticed they had put up reflectors. It wasn't too far after the accident that we came on the scene. But we noticed the reflectors were muddy. They were dirty. Dirty reflectors do not do what they were created to do. God saved you because he loved you, that you might love him, that you might do something for him. But we can't do what God has intended for us to do if we're dirty. I have found that preaching against sin is almost anathema. It's almost like you've got to be kidding. Are you kidding me? You're going to preach against the Easter Bunny? You got to be kidding me. And it's, ho, ho, ho. There's nothing more. You know? There's dirt on the reflectors. There's mud on the reflectors. You're to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, not ho, ho, ho. Anyway, we are. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's important what you're shining today. We noticed that the reflectors were muddy, dirty. And I know you don't want anybody. You came this morning, got all dressed up, combed your hair. Some of you guys couldn't. But, you know, we combed our hair, and memories, precious memories, how they linger, you know. And so we combed our hair, and here we are. But we need to recognize there is some mud. I mentioned I didn't get saved until I was 18. And I went to a Lutheran church, and I took a bus to church. I was 8, 9, 10 years of age. My mother was a Sunday school teacher. She never went to church, but she was a Sunday school teacher. And we took a public service bus from Belmore into Asbury Park. And it cost, I don't know, put them little ting, 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 tokens in that little, how many remember those things in the bus? And so she put them in, and we ride the bus there. And we go to Sunday school, turn around, and come back. And it was strange that we rode the bus. And we would go, and we'd look, and this little light of mine, it was strange. My wife says, Rev, don't get up there and ramble. Don't get up there and ramble. Because when you ramble, you go down the wrong stream. And I'm back on the right stream. We rode that bus, and my mother would sit behind me and my brother. And we'd be sitting there, and my mother and sister would be sitting back of us. And every once in a while, she'd check behind my ears. And I'm sitting there about this young man's age right there. And one Sunday morning, I felt somebody tugging on my ear. And then I felt something moist behind my ear. And I knew my mother was sitting behind me, not my sister. And I'm thinking, what's happening? Where is she getting the water from to wash behind my ear? And you know, with your imagination, where she was getting that water from. She would take that handkerchief and lick it and get it soaking wet and put it behind my ear and rub. Because there was dirt behind my ear that I didn't see. And I was not a happy camper at 8 or 9 years of age that my mother was embarrassing me with all these other people on the bus cleaning my ear. I would have rather she had done it at home before we left. And you know, every once in a while, folks, we need to be scrubbed behind our ears. All right, we got a handle on the Easter eggs, and we got a handle on the bearded fella. But you know, there may be some other areas that somebody has to come and do a little bit of research on. You know, there are things that we find in our Christian community today that nobody frowns anymore on. Nobody, you got to be kidding me. You're not going there. The Jersey Shore. The beachfront. Now, we can preach real good about that because nobody's going to go there. You're going to go there, you're going to freeze to death. If you go to the beachfront today, you'll be dressed modestly. You go 6 months from now, you'll probably not meet modesty. I asked, we've always preached against mixed bathing, always preached against the beach and all that kind of stuff. I asked Grandma Brinley, when you went to the beach, Grandma, and she was an old-time Methodist, she must have been close to 100 years of age when I asked her. I said, Grandma, what did you wear when you went to the beach? And she paused for a minute. She still had her senses. She paused for a minute and thought. She said one word. Everything. Everything. Well, don't. I've always loved the beach. I just got this affinity towards the beach. Good. Go there during the winter. Uh-huh. Go there during the winter. There are places you can't go. We had some folks living with us, and they went to the mall. There must have been 5 or 6 of them. They put sunglasses on one of the boys because they didn't want him to see what they were seeing when they went to the mall. Ladies don't dress right anymore. We saw one of the problems that caused these two men possibly to have died in the accident because the reflectors were dirty. Now, Sunday morning, we all get dressed up, prim and proper and so forth. Grandma Brinley said she wore everything. I think some of us don't attire ourselves the way we used to because the society has changed. Hello, I love you. I'm trying to get everybody's eye. Oh, I'm looking at every lady. You said that and you didn't look at me. I apologize. Some of our ladies today are wearing what they never would have worn 20 years ago. Ouch. Ouch. What I'm saying, our culture is losing its Christianity. It never was a strong Christian nation per se, but it's losing what it ought to have maintained. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Why doesn't it shine bright? We found out they were muddy. Notice, if you would, verse number 8, John chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I will set no wicked things before my eyes. We all still here? Can I hear an amen? Amen. I'll get you a little card to hold up and say amen. All right? We'll set no wicked thing before our eyes. What day is today? Sunday. It's commonly known as the... And what do we do on Sunday? A lot of men, since we picked on the ladies for a little bit. What do a lot of men like to do on Sunday afternoon? What? Football? I want a reference on that. Give me a book, a chapter. Now he's picking on me. It wasn't so bad he's picking on my wife. I could handle that. But what do we do on Sunday afternoon? What day is this? It's the Lord's Day. It's not NFL Day. Why is America so dark today? And we want it bright? We don't want it bright. We just like to say we want it bright. Ladies, go home and unplug the idiot box and see what strife it builds in your family. Oh, no. I'm trying to read your face. You're still smiling at me, fellas. But, Ma, as soon as this is over, we're jumping in that motorhome and getting out of here. These guys are going to let the air out of the tires or whatever. But our culture's gone downhill. Two men died because the reflectors were muddy. Why do you think America's going to hell at the rate it is going to hell? Maybe it could be because the reflectors are dirty. Could we get a little amen out of that, a grunt? We need to once again let a man examine himself and find. Well, I don't agree with the preacher. He's talking about my NFL football, and oh no, I don't know. I got that jacket, and I got the, you know, popcorn. I got all that stuff ready for afternoon. Oh no! Come on now. I think America would be in better shape. I think our church would be in better shape if we had folks who didn't want it, or if they wanted it, they weren't going to participate in it. The devil knows where weak spots are. And it'll hit you in those areas. You're sitting here and saying, I hate football. I hate football. I'm a spiritual giant. Amen. I hate the Giants. So I'm a spiritual giant. Yeah. No. We found that the reflector was dirty. Let your light so shine before men. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. But if those reflectors are dirty, we're not reflecting as much light as we should be reflecting. We concur? We notice number two, reflector. Well, let me stay right there. I want to read the rest of that verse. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, we would do well to have an invitation now. I think if we could stop and just reflect about what we may have rubbed elbows with deliberately or accidentally that we never should. I wonder if we were to sit down and make a list. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now, I may have said this the last time I was here. But, it's like, you know, preachers have hobby horses. Okay? So, come on board, you know. We'll ride double saddle or whatever. You know, We're in a culture where laws mean little. And I think you can maybe find where I'm hinting towards. You know speed limit signs? You know what they mean in New Jersey? The same thing they do here. Absolutely nothing. Try going down the New Jersey Turnpike, speed limit. Pennsylvania Turnpike, try going across, speed limit. It's just not going to happen. So what do? We go above the speed limit because everybody else is. Come on. I mean, everybody else on the turnpike is going above the speed limit. So what do? What do we feel justified in doing? What everybody else is doing. America is in bad shape because we're doing what everybody else is doing instead of everybody else doing what we're doing. I've got the big bumper sticker. Jesus says, at 85 miles an hour. Obey them that have the rule over you. I think I better move on. But I'm trying to give something that would say we've got to give back to living right. Righteousness, what? Exalteth a nation. But sin is reproach to any people. Obey them that have the rule over you. And what do? We're asking God to bless America. And we know righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is reproach to anybody, any person. Sin is reproach. But we're asking God to bless America. Does it balance out? I'm looking for you for an answer. I'm not just, you know, I don't want you getting mad at me. I want you to get mad at yourself. Where it doesn't balance out. So can't we do something? Can you imagine what would happen if every independent Baptist church in America said, hey, we're going to balance it out. We're going to obey the rules. We're going to play by the rules. I'm not addicted to basketball. If I was, they don't play basketball anymore. It's kill ball. I'd like to put 10 refs, one for each player that's on the court. And anytime they violate printed rules, they'd call a foul. You would need the whole stadium of basketball players because all the refs would be out. Come on, fellas. Yes? So what are we doing? We're teaching our young people to break the rules. America's in darkness. The reflectors were muddy. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And so we all say, there's something I'm doing wrong. I know we have some saints in here that never have done anything wrong. They couldn't think of anything forever. Come on now, stretch it just a little bit, and during an invitation time. Let me go on. Verse number 9. Now, let's go to another. Reflectors were, number 1, muddy. They were dirty. They were muddy. Number 2, we notice they were misaligned. They had the reflectors there, and as your headlights come and hit that reflector, it's to shine that reflector back at your car so you know that there's a curve in the road and so forth. But if they're misaligned, when your headlight hits this, it goes over into the field, it goes over someplace else, and you never know that the road has a curve. And so these drivers, as they're driving along at a foggy night, and they hit that headlight, hits that reflector, it didn't bounce back in the right direction. It bounced off into the field. And possibly because of that, they lost sight of the roadway, and they crashed. Both drivers lie dead there. Why? Because the reflector was misaligned. In your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2. Colossians 3 and verse number 2. We need to stay aligned. Set your affection on things above. Colossians 3 and 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We need to set our affections that we can have somebody come follow us. Set your affection. Set your affection. We need. I'm thinking of a story of a young lad. And most young people, especially young lad, and especially the dad, most young men want to be just like daddy. I want to be like daddy when I grow up. Just like daddy. A little 10-year-old boy, he was determined he was going to be just like daddy. If the reflector's misaligned, somebody's going to be following you. If you go off the road on a foggy night, somebody's going to be behind you and they're going to follow you and they're going to hit into the same dilemma that you're hitting into. This young lad one night heard his dad open the door, close the door. He went out, the father. And so the young lad put his boots on and said, I'm going to be just like daddy. Wherever daddy's going at 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to follow him. The little boy put on his boots. He couldn't step in the same steps that his daddy. It was a snowy night, but he did his best to follow daddy at a distance. Daddy didn't know he was behind him. Daddy was going down a local tavern. He didn't know that his boy was following, doing exactly what daddy was doing. Wouldn't that be great if your son, your daughter, mom, would do just what you do? And a lot of us say, no, I don't want that. Here, this young lad, step, jump, step, followed dad. Got down to the tavern. Door was closed. Little young lad opened it up, walked inside, and daddy started saying, what are you doing here? Why are you here? And the young lad, in essence, said, I want to ask you the same questions. What are you doing here? Why are you here? Wouldn't it be great, mommy, if your daughter was just like you? Wouldn't it be great, daddy, granddad, if your children and grandchildren were just like you? Reflectors. Ye are the light of the world. What kind of light? Reflected light. And if it's muddy and it's misaligned, we're going to get off the road. Would you agree with me that we are off the road in this nation? We are off. And who's going to get it back on the road? Folks who have a little bit of sense. Folks who have a little bit of spirituality. Folks who know the Lord and are going to direct it once again the way it ought to go. How much have we heard about public schools? Our school systems, and all we hear all about that. Well, who's going to put it back on the road? We're going to spend the rest of your life, the rest of my life, the rest of my son's life, the rest of my grandson's life. Somebody's got to put it back on the road. Amen? Them folks need to hear a voice. Somebody's got to come out and say, hey, you got it all messed up. You're heading those poor kids in the wrong direction. Let's get our reflectors straightened out. Let's clear them up so that they can be followed, they can be seen. So I saw there in Newark, muddy reflectors. I saw misaligned reflectors. Luke 17, and I promise I'll read you the verse. Luke 17 and verse 17. Somebody who visited a Baptist church for the first time, they wanted to know, what on the clock? Why the clock on the back wall? What does it mean? You know, they asked about the stained glass windows, and they asked about the flags hanging down. But what does it mean? And when the young person was asked the clock on the back wall, what does that mean? The person who was asking the question was interested to find the answer. And the person who was part of the church said it means absolutely nothing. You've heard that before. You'll hear it again. It means absolutely nothing. It was misaligned. Luke 17 and verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? The reflectors were muddy, they were misaligned, and they were missing. They were missing. As we look to our left and we look to our right, we look in the front and we look in the back, is there somebody missing? I thank God you're here. Every time the church doors are open, thank God you're here. But we noticed there in Newark where the accident occurred, reflectors that should have been there were not there. So what we're saying this morning to us, we are the reflectors. We need to be in God's house reflecting the light of the Lord Jesus Christ every time the doors are open. I know physically unable to, I understand. But beside that, when Aunt Tilly comes to visit you on a Sunday, Aunt Tilly goes to church with you when it's time for Sunday night church. Or Sunday morning church, or whenever your scheduled churches are. Preacher, you understand, we're having company, so we'll not be in church on Sunday morning. I got to stay home and bake. No, I don't understand. You know, peanut butter and jelly is good enough for me. It's good enough for my guest. You don't need to stay home and bake. Why am I saying all this? Because we are losing our nation rapidly. We are losing our fundamental Christian churches rapidly. And we need to once again have a group of people saying, I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to face right. I'm going to have my reflectors clean. I'm going to have them aligned. I'm going to have them make sure they're just all of what they ought to be. So you might be an example to somebody else. How would I know how to live the Christian life? How would you know how to live the Christian life if you never met a Christian? Oh, I'd read my Bible. You know, I had a little special needs boy who sang a circuit riding preacher, used to travel throughout the land. I don't know how the rest of it goes. But he said, I'd rather see an example. I'd rather see it than to hear it anytime. The preacher, when he talks, he talks too fast. But when I see what the preacher does and see what the church people do, and I say, I can do that. And maybe we're in dire straits in this nation because this younger generation has not seen the older generation do what they're supposed to do. I'll stop somewhere. Ye are the light of the world. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But if it's muddy, the devil's throwing dirt at us. Did you realize that? I mean, he's just out there throwing mud, cakes of mud, at Christian folks. He's reoriented the philosophy of a nation, and they think they're right, and you know that they're wrong, and God is always right. We're reflectors of the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. Wouldn't that be a great testimony For somebody to say, I saw Jesus in you. My wife was doing laundry in a laundromat someplace. And there's a man in there doing his laundry. I had to run out to the motorhome and get something. And while I was gone, the man said to my wife, you're a Christian. You're a Christian. He didn't know at that time that I was associated with her. I came in and he looked at me and he said, you're a Christian. We ought to be mistaken or taken. That the world would know out there that you're Christians. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Amen? And how we manifest that love moment by moment by moment. Well, I'm going to stop. Somebody said, if you put a nickel in Rev, it'll go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And so I'm on about 4 cents worth right now. So we're going to pray. Before you bow your heads, I'm just visiting. I'm glad that I'm here. Glad I've been invited back and all that kind of stuff. I want to know that you know Jesus. You're not going to get to heaven because you wear a shirt and tie. You're going to get to heaven because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been placed on our destitute spiritual condition. Once I was a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from the Lord. It was freely given. It's there. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, would you trust Christ as your personal Savior? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And we ought not to deceive ourselves and wind up in hell. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. A long, long time ago, on a Friday afternoon at Norcod's Engineering, I opened up my heart and trusted Christ. It wasn't the normal place to get born again, but I knew enough Bible to know what I had to do. This is church. This is a good place to get saved. Now, if I was to come down off the platform and ask you, are you saved? 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 Assume that I'm doing that. What would your answer be? You don't need to convince me. You need to let Jesus know that he's your Savior this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'd ask for forgiveness for not doing all of what I could have, should have, might have. But Lord, your Holy Spirit can take that which was said from behind this sacred desk and rewrite it, reapply it, make it meaningful to each one that's here, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, I pray that there be not one here in the building that's not born again. Lord, I don't have a spiritual thermometer that I can test or a way of knowing. But Lord, you know. Lord, I pray to be each and every one examining their heart at this time that they might say, yeah, I know I'm saved. I know I've trusted Christ. I know I've been born again. But if there's one who's not sure, Lord, help them to have clarity of thought as I pause in prayer. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, would you not do it right now in silent prayer before him? He'll hear you and trust him. Christian, you've been saved for a long time. Would you ask God to help you, to give you that understanding just like it was when you first got saved, but it's been enriched? Would you thank him for it? Lord, we thank you for what you've done here in this place. We thank you for the privilege of standing behind this sacred desk. We thank you for a people who are concerned and burdened to reach this part of the country with the good news that Jesus saves. We thank you that there's been a light burning here for many a day, month, year. We pray that it would burn even brighter in the days that lie ahead. Bless now, I'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Number 57 in the hymn book. Let's stand as we stand. 57. day and apply it, not just
one time, but every day. All right, let's have a brief word of prayer and then we'll close. Father, thank you for today. We're thankful for the man of God that you've sent here. We're thankful for his willingness to come. We're thankful for the gifts that you've given to him. We pray that as we have heard your word, may we be doers of it, not just hearers only. Give us safety as we travel to our homes. May we be a light to the world of the hope that lies within us. And we pray that we would have opportunities to share the gospel with people. And we pray that we would be looking for those opportunities. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.